congregation will please stand. You may be seated. We're gathered together in the presence of God to remember His sovereignty in death as in life, to seek His word for our hearts, and to offer up to Him praise for the life of Mrs. Margaret Lilley. The family would like to thank you for being here today and sharing with them in this service and in their sorrow and in their grief and loss. They would like also to express their thanks to the nursing staff of the Dromore Nursing Home who tended to the needs of their mother over these last number of years, and also to those who provided the medical care she needed. Also, I would like to, on behalf of the session, committee, and congregation of Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church, and also Dromore Free Presbyterian Church, to express our deep sympathy to all the family circle and to assure them of our prayers at this time of sorrow and loss. The Reverend Dean Kenney also sends his apologies for not being able to be here today. He has visited in the home and would have been with us, but had to go to Kenya, and he's in Kenya on the mission field today. But he does send his apologies and his deep sympathy to the family and assures you of his prayers. Immediately after this service, the family will make their way to the graveyard at St. John's Parish Church for a short committal service. If you'd like to shake hands and convey your condolences to the family, you'll be able to do so in the church hall here over to my right afterwards, where refreshments are provided for all by the ladies and friends of the church and family. We're going to stand as we sing the first hymn in your order of service, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Fast Beyond All Measure. We'll stand when the organist gives us the note.
Thank you.
Now let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our loving and our eternal Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we enter into thy most sacred and holy presence today. We come, our Father, to give thee thanks and to praise thee for the life of our dear sister, Mrs. Lillie. We thank thee, our Father, for the day and hour when thou didst bring her to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was gloriously and wonderfully saved. And we thank thee, Father, for the life and testimony that she has left behind. And we praise thee that this makes this day so much easier for us all, and especially for the family. For we thank thee that while we mourn our dear sister's passing, we do not mourn as others who have no hope. But we have this blessed hope that Mrs. Lillie is absent from the body, but she's present with the Lord, that she's entered in to that heavenly land, that today she's walking the streets of gold, all suffering, all sorrow, all aging have all passed away, and she's living in the light of her blessed Savior's face, rejoicing with the angels and the glorified souls that are in heaven. We pray that thou will comfort the hearts of the family circle with these thoughts, that they might realize that there is a real sense in which she is not dead, but liveth. She is alive with Christ, which is far better. We pray for this service today, and we ask thy blessing upon it and thy presence with us here. We ask that thou wilt draw near, that thou wilt undertake for everyone who will participate in the service. Grant to them thy help. Guide them in all that they would say. And our Father, we pray that thou wilt make this service a real comfort to the family. May you draw near and comfort every heart. And Father, we pray that thou wilt also at this time remind us all of our mortality, that we're not here forever, that we too will come to the end of life's journey. And may we be reminded of the need to prepare to meet our God, even as Mrs. Lillie did so many years ago. And we pray that even through this home calling, that thou wilt speak to the living, to those who are living carelessly and without Christ, may they be brought to a saving knowledge of thyself. For those of us who are saved and born again and on the road to heaven, may we be reminded of the brevity of life and of the need to redeem the time, because the days are evil. So we commit this service now to thee. Bless us and be with us here just now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we are very pleased to have with us here today Dr. John Douglas, a great friend of Mrs. Lillie. He was the principal of the Whitfield College of the Bible, and Mrs. Lillie, of course, labored for the Lord in the college, and Dr. Douglas got to know her very well, and they became great friends. He's going to come and he's going to read to us a favorite psalm of Mrs. Lillie's. I think it's a Psalm 126. No, sorry, 121. Dr. Douglas is going to come and read that to us just now.
I always count it a privilege to be able to read God's holy word, and especially in the congregation. And as you will consider on an occasion like this, I'm pleased not only to represent friends in the Lisburn congregation, but also Whitfield College of the Bible, its faculty, and its student body. We have the fondest memories of Mrs. Lilly, who came devotedly to give of her time and her comfort, and I bring that word in because she meant so much to the students, especially those who were boarding in the college, missing especially a mother's love. And Mrs. Lilly was really sent of God, because far, far more than she would ever have dreamt, she contributed to the life and the happiness of the college, its well-being, and then, as you can see, extending that a little bit further, that in itself contributed to God's work. I know that students of a past day, I was going to say a past generation, a past day, would like me to make these comments about her. It just seemed that she was there for them. Every occasion she had a word for them, she was so helpful. I'll never forget her warm-hearted smile, her radiant testimony. And although we're living with new times, new student body these days, yet that memorial remains. And God has said in his precious word, "Them that honour me, I will honour." So I'm thankful for the opportunity just to say a little word on behalf of the college. And it was part of her devotion to give her time and her heart to the work of the Lord. And she felt that was what she could do for the Lord. And I can say today without any hesitation, she did it well. And when we think of the work of God in its widest context, then we would say, "Oh Lord, let us have that same heart and that same spirit, that same diligence too that she always showed." So we're thankful today that we have these memories of her. And we know that the best is yet to be. We know that one day in the courts above, we're going to sing together the song of the Lamb, the song of God's redeemed. Now, this is Psalm 121. If you have your Bible there, please turn it up. You'll want to put a marker in it anyway, because of the attention given to it today in the service. You'll see that it's entitled A Song of Degrees, a title that is known to some others as the Song of the Ascents. I thought to myself, sitting there for a few moments, what an appropriate psalm that is, a song of the ascents, because our dear sister is not here among us. She has ascended. She has ascended into glory. And we read this word now in the congregation. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Child of God can say that. Maybe you're not a Christian today, and God has touched your heart and you've had serious thoughts. I pray that they'll be even more serious still. You will think here of the privilege of the believer, that the Lord keeps those who belong to Him, they're precious to Him, and He keeps them like a treasure, never, never to let them go. Do you know the Lord today? I pray earnestly that you may come to walk in Mrs. Lilly's footsteps and trust her Savior and serve her God also. Now I read the last verse of the psalm. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We know God will bless the reading of His holy word for His name's sake. And I leave with you my own personal sympathy in this time of loss, and yet we're not without comfort. And we praise the Lord for that great day, that wonderful day that we're all going to share in, those of us who know and love the Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Douglas. I was just thinking how easy it is. It's an emotional time. Any funeral's an emotional time. But oh, how easy it is in a funeral like this, because we have this confidence that the one whom we mourn is forever with the Lord. We miss her and will miss her. But she herself has gone on to see Him whom her soul loveth. And she's walking with Him today, and she sees His face, and she's just waiting for the rest of us, hopefully, to join her. But to join her, we need that faith that she had, that faith in Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior of sinners. We thank Dr. Douglas for his words and for his reading. And now the Reverend Stanley Barnes. Reverend Barnes was Mrs. Lilly's minister for many, many years. And she has requested that he speak at her funeral. And so the Reverend Barnes is going to come now and speak to us.
Thank you, brother. This afternoon, we hope to have Pastor Harvey Shaw with us, a close friend of the family. I don't think he's here, is he? Just to double check, because we wouldn't like to leave him out if he was sitting somewhere in the meeting. He was a close friend of the family, and we hope to have him here to say a few words by way of tribute. I've been asked this afternoon to say something about Mrs. Lilly by way of tribute, and I find it a very difficult thing to do because of the kind of person that Mrs. Lilly was. She was a very quiet, private individual. She never pushed herself forward, and she never really ever talked about herself. And I know that her word to me today would be that of William Curry, the great missionary, when he came to die. And he said to the man who was going to bury him, he said, "Don't preach about William Curry. Curry, preach about William Curry's Saviour." And that would have been the desire of our sister in Christ, that we wouldn't speak about her, but rather that we would speak about the Lord that she loved and served. But I do want to share just a few things by way of tribute to Mrs. Lilly. Her sister, Mrs. Margaret Kathleen Lilly, was born in the year 1921. She had five brothers, Joe, James, Ansley, Wesley, and Ronald. And a sister, Bertha, who lived in Scotland and also passed away there. It was as a child that Mrs. Lilly accepted the Lord Jesus as her Saviour. She was married to her late husband, William, in 1940, and their union and marriage was blessed with 8 children: Vincent, Aring, Margaret, Mary, June, Raymond, and Helen, and the late Richard, who was tragically killed in an accident. And that was a heartbreaking blow for all of the family, and especially Mrs. Lilly. She was greatly beloved as a mother, a mother-in-law, and a grandmother. She had 12 grandchildren, and she was proud of every one of them, and she loved them, and she prayed for them daily at the heavenly throne of grace. As a Christian, our sister Madge had a great love for missionaries and missionary work. Throughout her life, she faithfully supported the work of Every Home Crusade, which was founded by the late Mr. Ernie Allen, who was a personal friend of Mrs. Lilly's. We're glad to have a representative of the Every Home Crusade here today. She served as a member of staff, as we have already heard, in the Whitfield College of the Bible, where she was loved and respected both by staff and students. I remember Mrs. Lilly coming to me as her pastor, and she felt challenged about the need of doing something more for the Lord. And she said, I'm thinking of applying to the Whitfield College of the Bible and to be able to help out in the college. And we encouraged her. But we have to say it was quite an undertaking for a woman of her age. But she believed it was the will of God for her life. And we have to say that, as Dr. Douglas said, she made a very valuable contribution by her dedicated service to the Lord. To the students, she was a mother in Israel. She was literally a mother to them. And she would do smoothing, cooking, washing, and a lot of things. And the students, I have to say, were spoiled by Mrs. Lilly. And she loved to spoil them. And every student really appreciated Mrs. Lilly in the college. In her life, she went to Romania for the opening of Pastor Gross's church in Timișoara. And there was about a group of 52, I think, if memory serves me right, left the church. And Mrs. Lilly said, I would like to come. And she really enjoyed that visit. And as a result of her visit there, she got to know Pastor Grossa. And she had a great love for the work of Deborah House, a home for abused girls in Timișoara. And when Pastor Grossa was over here on visits, he would always ask about Mrs. Lilly and take time out to go and visit her and to have a word of encouragement for her. I have to say also that she went to Papua New Guinea with a group led by Norman and Angela McCready. And I wondered really how a woman of her age is going to cope out there. It's one thing going to Romania, but it's another thing to go out to Papua New Guinea. But she went on that trip, mission trip, and she was a great help. I think the hardest thing she had to endure during the trip was not the mosquitoes or the creepy crawlies. It was having to listen to Norman's jokes. I think that was the worst thing of all. They were nearly as bad as the mosquitoes. But, you know, she had a great love for Norman and Angela, prayed for them dearly. And she also attended a prayer meeting, a missionary prayer meeting in the house, the home of her brother, Mr. Edwin Poots, a monthly meeting where they met together to pray and to support the missionaries. For the last 3.5 years of her life, she was in residential care at Mountfield Nursing Home in Dromore. And we have to stress that the family, greatly appreciated the loving care she received there. And I also have to say that no other family that I know of give Mrs. Lilly the loving attention that she got. She lacked for nothing, and they were continually visiting her with her and attending to her every need. And I want to say to you personally today, as family members, you have no regrets whatsoever. You did more than your best, and you went the second mile on every occasion for Mrs. Lilly. I want to say also today that the Reverend Ian Kenny, visitor as the minister of Tremor Free Presbyterian Church on a regular basis, and the family want to thank him for all his pastoral care. She also appreciated the visits of Harold McKibben, Mr. Eric Spence and the group, and John McCandless and those who went to sing and to minister God's word to them and to pray with them, with the residents in the home on a Sunday afternoon. Also, our brother, Mr. Robert Murphy, an elder here in the church, was very regular in his visitation of Mrs. Lilly. Special word of thanks has been asked to be expressed to our brother, Mr. Frank Blakely, an elder in Dromore Free Presbyterian Church. There was seldom a week passed, but he visited Mrs. Lilly and would pray for her and read to her from the Word of God. And Brother Frank, the family want to express to you personally today how much they appreciated your care as an elder. Looking back over Mrs. Lilly's long and eventful life of 93 years, we can say in the words of the Saviour, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because she has done well for her Saviour and family and for the extension of the kingdom of God. This is a very brief, but I trust sincere, tribute to a beloved sister in the Lord. Now, just for a few moments, I want to turn to the Word of God, leave with you two verses that you will find in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says these words, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" As you read through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that there are many different kinds of questions asked in the Word of God. The first question that was ever asked was asked by God himself in the Garden of Eden after the fall of Adam. And Adam and Eve were hiding behind the trees in the garden. And it was like the cry of a father for a lost child. And God cried out, "Adam, where art thou?" That was the first question that was ever asked in the Bible. That was a question concerning a place. "Adam, where art thou?" Then we read the story of the trial and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the central characters in that missed trial, of course, was Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And having examined Christ three times, he testified to the fact that this is an innocent man. And he turned to the crowd and he said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And the crowd in unison cried out, "Let him be crucified. We have no king save Caesar." And he consented to the cry and demands of the crowd, and the Lord of glory was crucified and nailed to the cross. But when you come to the two verses that we have just read together, we find that this is a question concerning profit. And the Lord Jesus had been asked many questions during his 3.5 year public ministry, and especially by the scribes and the Pharisees who tried to trip him up in his conversation. Then the Lord stops and he looks humanity and the world in the face, and he asks the question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And I believe that's a question the Lord would apply to you today, would ask you directly as an individual. What shall it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? And I want you to look just very quickly and briefly at three simple truths that stand out in this verse. And you'll notice, first of all, that the Lord makes it absolutely clear that every man and woman of Adam's race that is born into this world has a soul. You'll mark the fact here that the word a soul is mentioned twice from the lips of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord makes it absolutely clear that you and I as individuals have a soul. We read in the Word of God how that God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. And just as God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is a triune being, so man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And the soul lives on beyond the body for the countless ages of eternity. And the Lord Jesus says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Remember on one occasion witnessing to an undertaker and brought it round about the Word of God and the need to be saved. The undertaker looked at me and he said, Mr. Barnes, I've done literally hundreds of funerals and I've watched the coffin go down into the grave, but I've never ever saw a soul. How could you be sure you have a soul? And I looked at him and I said, well, as far as you're concerned, you're not prepared to believe in something unless you can see it. I said to him then, well, have you ever saw death? You're an undertaker. You deal with death every day. But in reality, you've never seen the last enemy, which is death. And death is not something you can put in a test tube and analyze on a scientific basis. And yet you believe in death. I again said to him, do you believe in pain? Pain is a reality of life, no matter where you go. People suffer as a result of pain. And you see the evidence of pain. But you can't put pain in a test tube, but yet it's a reality. You can't deny its existence. And then I looked at him and I said, have you ever seen a mother's love? A mother's love is a wonderful thing, but you can't put it in a test tube and analyze it, and yet you see the evidence of love in a good and a godly mother wherever you go. And it's the same exactly with the soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You have a soul, and the Word of God makes it absolutely clear that that soul will spend eternity either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. You know, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the greatest loss you could ever suffer is to lose your soul. You see, there's not only a revelation here that should make you think, but there's a ruination that should make you tremble. For the Lord says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And here's a reality that we have to face, that you not only have a soul, but the great possibility is, if you're not saved and you're still in the broad road, that you will lose your soul. You remember three times in the Gospel of John that the Lord Jesus looked at certain people and he said, ye shall die in your sins. And oh, as you go through life, you suffer many losses. Terrible thing to lose your health and strength. And health and strength is something very often we take for granted and we don't appreciate it till we lose it. Or so many people I've known and business have lost their fortune. And overnight the business collapsed, and we've seen that in recent years. And men who had plenty were left in poverty. I knew a man who lived in a beautiful mansion, They ended up living in a wee cottage down by the seashore, lost everything. And that's a terrible thing when you lose your material wealth. But oh, let me say today that the greatest loss of all is for a man or woman to die without Christ, to die in their sins, and to be lost for all eternity. You know, the question was asked by the Philippian jailer, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And in unison they replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The other side of the coin is this: what must I do to be lost? And the answer is simple: do nothing. Just go on the way you are, careless, heedless, neglecting your soul salvation, and one day you'll be lost for all eternity. C.H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said on one occasion, the most awful word in the Bible is lost. Let me ask you today, are you lost? Or are you found? Have you come to know Christ as your Savior? I'm so glad, as a child, in simple childlike faith, Mrs. Lilly accepted Christ as her Savior. She couldn't really recollect how it happened, but the evidence of grace was in her life. You could see the fruits of God's salvation as a result of her accepting Christ. Mrs. Lilly could say, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." A revelation that should make you think. You think about the fact that you have a soul. A ruination that should make you tremble. The greatest loss you will ever experience is to go out into eternity without God, without Christ, and without hope, and to be lost for all eternity. But you know, as I think of these words, there's also a redemption that should make you thankful. You see, the one who spoke these words was no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. And it was there on the middle cross that he was going to die as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament, it was the Lamb who died for the shepherd. But in the New Testament, in the good news of the gospel, it's the shepherd who dies for the lamb. And the Savior said, "I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And that's exactly what the Son of God did as he hung on Calvary's cross. You see, the Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And thank God today for a crucified, risen Savior, one who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of my favorite characters in American history is Abraham Lincoln. And of course, Abraham Lincoln, when he became president, he resolved that he was going to introduce that every man was equal in the sight of God, whether you were black or white. And he made it his ambition in life to abolish slavery. And we know the tragic end. Harry was in the theater and he was assassinated and he lost his life. The story's told that when the coffin of Lincoln was being taken to the graveyard, hundreds lined the way, and a black man lifted his little boy and put him on his shoulders, and he said with tears running down his cheeks, look son, that's the man who died to set us free." And you know, that's the message of the glorious gospel of Christ: whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And thank God, our sister, Mrs. Lilly, she not only had life, but she had life more abundantly, and she infested that life in the service of the Master whom she served. Mrs. Lilly, above all today, would have wanted me, as a preacher of the Word of God, to be faithful to your soul and to exhort you to prepare to meet thy God. Oh, I trust that even today, if you're not saved through the result of Mrs. Lilly's death, that her death will be as a corn of wheat that falls into the ground and brings forth fruit 100-fold, and that others will come to know her Saviour and Lord. And that will make Mrs. Lilly heaven to heavens to meet you in the glory. May the Lord bless these thoughts from his word to our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Barnes, for that wonderful tribute to Mrs. Lilly, and also for that challenge from the word of the Lord. We do trust that the Lord will bless that word to every heart, and that every one of us in this service today might come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and know Mrs. Lilly's Saviour, so that we can all say, and say truthfully on this occasion, we do not say goodbye, Mrs. Lilly. We only say good night. We'll see you in the morning over there. We're going to sing the second hymn in your order of service. There are loved ones in the glory whose dear forms you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, in a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky.
Thank you.
seated. I should also like to mention that there are others who would like to have been here. Mr. Robert Murphy intended to be here, one of the elders here in Hillsborough, but Mr. Murphy's sister-in-law, his wife's sister, has passed away, and she was buried today about the same time as this service. So Robert and others who had to attend that funeral couldn't be here today, but their prayers and sympathy are with you at this time. Now we're going to ask Mr. Frank Blakely. Frank is an elder in our Dromore congregation, and as you have heard, he faithfully visited Mrs. Lilly in the nursing home and ministered to her the word of the Lord and led her often in prayer. And he's going to come and bring our service to a close in prayer, and also to give thanks for the refreshments that are prepared for us. Brother Frank.
Let us bow in prayer. Lord, we just bless thee this afternoon that we come to thee in the name of the only Saviour of sinners, the one who has been spoken about, the one who shed his precious blood that we might be saved. As we commit, Lord, the family to thee, we pray that they will remember a good mother, a good grandmother, and a great grandmother. We thank you that she's a woman full of grace. We thank you that she was a woman of great faith. And Lord, we bless thee today for the day that you called her, and she set aside earthly things, and she set her soul before the living God. She prepared to meet the God of heaven. And we thank you that if she was here today, she would say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Thank God that you have added unto her today the mansions in glory. Thank God that she has entered into rest, and the name of the just is blessed. We pray that in the coming days you will bless the family circle, each one. Lord, we thank you for the love that they had for their mother. We thank you for the love that she had for them. But Lord, we know that she had a greater love for the great God who saved her and gave himself for her. Bless each one, we pray. We pray that in the coming days they will know the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. Go before to the graveside, we pray, and bless there. And Lord, for those who would remain, we pray that thou will bless the refreshments to their use and bless the hands that have prepared it, and that they'll eat and drink to the glory of God. Go before us, Lord, we pray, and bless us this day, for we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Now the congregation will please stand and remain standing as the remains are taken from the church.